Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel from Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 48. And this is another of these accounts of what happened after the resurrection. And it falls into that category, reflecting the author's kind of wish to address maybe issues in the community that he was writing for, and stresses various priorities that he would have had as a writer. And Luke, of course, is a fantastic writer. He includes an awful lot of emotions and narratives in his stories, particularly in this part here. And I always think that these emotions can help us to identify with the apostles and the different characters in Luke's stories. So we'll take it bit by bit then. We'll just go through it. And we start off in this first verse. The disciples told their story of what had happened on the road and how they'd recognized Jesus at the breaking of bread. And this links it up with happened on the road to Emmaus. And this story is linked with that, and it occurs again in the account that we had on Sunday. They were still talking about this when Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now here's Luke giving us emotions in a state of alarm and fright. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And we have then something very akin to the story in John's Gospel with Thomas, and looking at the wounds and touching the wounds and hearing his voice. We have other things here too. I mean, that's true in verse 39. "Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones, as you can see I have." So Jesus is really saying here, "I'm not a ghost. I'm not a figment of your imagination. I've risen. I am the Jesus that walked among you. I'm the same. The Lord of the calming of the waters, the Lord of the Last Supper, is this risen Lord, one and the same person." And then their fright turns to joy. And joy is a big thing in Luke too. Joy occurs an awful lot. Their joy was so great that they could not believe it, and they stood there dumbfounded. It's interesting to look at different translations of that, that they were so full of joy that they couldn't think what to say, they couldn't express themselves, dumbfounded. It's not a word we often use, but it just means they were lost for words. And then he brings it right back down to earth. "Have you anything here to eat?" And this is another proof that this is not a ghost or a figment of their imagination or a lost soul or somebody who's come from the other world or whatever. This is a person that can eat and consume food. So handed him a piece of grilled fish, which he took and ate before their eyes. So they're witnesses to this by seeing what he's done. And he told them, "This is what I meant when I said to you, while I'm still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms has to be fulfilled." Now this is a difficult verse here. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'You see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead.'" Now, in the scriptures, there isn't any reference to rising from the dead or that the Messiah would bring everlasting life to the people. There is references to life and victory, and there's a whole suffering servant of Isaiah that you'll find in this section. Isaiah 44, I think it is, to 50, where the suffering servant is described. So Jesus fulfills that, definitely. 40 to 55 in Isaiah, that whole section is a suffering servant section. But the future, the Messiah being the future deliverer, is not mentioned in the Old Testament. and the suffering and rising aren't clearly in the text either. But anyway, we'll let that go. And that in his name, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all the nations. Now, this is the resurrection, and repentance for forgiveness of sins. We could understand that Jesus' wounds wouldn't have been caused if people weren't sinners. He wouldn't have had to die on the cross if people avoided sin and did what the law required, did what God asked of them. So his resurrection is making peace with the sinners, again calling the sinners to repent and not be inflicting harm on each other and inflicting suffering on Jesus. So this is part of the proclamation, not just that Jesus is risen, but sins are forgiven. And he said this from the cross too, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So this repentance and being preached begins from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, very, very important for Luke. And it spreads from the holy city right over to the eternal city. And we still hear the good news today preached. And you are witnesses to this. I mean, there's a whole homily in that. There's a whole retreat in those words. We who are gathered in this room today listening to these words, you are witnesses to this. And maybe that leads us on to ask questions. How can we be witnesses to this? In what ways do we live in order to be witnesses to the resurrection of Christ? Maybe another question would be, the disciples had a resurrection experience. Just reflect on things in your own life when you sensed that hope had gone. And what have been your resurrection experiences? Maybe recovery of health when it did not seem possible, or new opportunities after failure or disappointment, or inner healing after a deep hurt. Those are good experiences of resurrection. So God bless you, and I'll just finish with this prayer, which maybe I should have started with. Anyway, I'll offer it to you now. Merciful God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. As I read your word, let me hear your voice speaking to me from within. Give me the wisdom to understand your message to me. Let your word be the joy of my heart and the light of to my feet. Give me strength to build my life on your word. Let it be done to me according to your word. May I rejoice in the blessedness of hearing your word and keeping it. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And may God bless you.